A reading from St. Luke, the 16th chapter. Jesus said,
"There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried, and in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame.' But Abraham said, 'Child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us.' And he said, 'Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment.' But Abraham said, 'They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them.' And he said, 'No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent.' He said to him, 'If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead.' O Lord, have mercy on us." In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets. In the name of Jesus, amen. But until this mortal body you will raise up, O God, and clothe in immortality, what glorious mansion of rest awaits for the soul that is pure and undefiled? It shall rest secure in the patriarch's bosom, as did Lazarus, hedged round by sweet comfort, whom a rich man beheld from a distance while he burned in the fires unending. As spills from the 4th century pen of the poet Prudentius, all is quite painful and hopeless for the unnamed rich man. But come on now, be honest. At least for a time, this time, in this world, wouldn't you rather be the man that is clothed in resplendent purple and linen? I dare you to tell me that you'd rather happily volunteer today, right now, to be the poor man. Just try to make your case that instead of eating filet mignon and drinking buckets of champagne every day, you'd rather be dropped on the street, filthy, abandoned, starving, laying at the gate of death, grotesquely serving as a human popsicle for packs of salivating, flea-bitten street mongrels. Tell me that you'd rather be living the earthly life of Lazarus, and I will not hesitate to respond, I do not believe you. You want the Four Seasons, not the Motel 6. You want the Porsche, not the Pinto. You want the beaches of Hawaii, not the slums of Mumbai. You want the mattress with your sleep number on it, not the mud path that has been hardened to concrete. But all of that is really quite beside the point. Christ is not lecturing about the choosing earthly wealth over poverty. And neither is Jesus trying to frighten you by giving you a motivational speech to show more mercy to your neighbor at the very times when he or she needs it the most, although you should always and ever be doing just that. Rather, the Lord is setting his parabolic eye upon the root, the heart of the problem. He is warning against, he is condemning a Pharisaical disregard for Moses and the prophets. For in them, in the divine word, is found the crucified Son of God. And when you find this Jesus in Moses and the prophets, you will have found resurrection and life forever. Or better yet, eternal life in the Son of God will have found you. The Word of God does the work. The Scriptures make one wise unto salvation and life in paradise. If your Pharisee is hardened against Moses and the prophets, your Pharisee is doomed, for your Pharisee is refusing to hear and heed the Son of God, who speaks and works through Moses and the prophets. He works through the humiliation of a bloody cross and through the lasting victory of an empty tomb. Moses, prophets, Jesus, they all hang together as one. Ask the disciples who were on the Easter road to Emmaus about that. In God's gracious manner of working miracles, it is never the case that all who are living are alive, or that all those buried are dead. The difference between the truly living and the authentically dead is as high and wide, as deep as and uncrossable, as timeless and without boundaries, as is that chasm that appears in Christ's parable. A rich man beheld from a distance while he burned in the fires unending. But now wait a minute, all ye who dwell upon the earth. If someone were to come back from the dead, well now, a miracle as shockingly stupendous as that would gain the sinner's attention. They'd heed the wake-up call, amend their ways in short order, and place themselves post-haste on the right side of the gap. No, says Jesus, it doesn't work that way. And the course of human history ever since has proven Jesus true. The Lamb of God beholds his future and knows perfectly well what lies ahead. Not even the messenger who rises from the dead will convince them to repent and change. Repentance is much more than just mere logical persuasion. It is the fruit of faithful preaching. God's word and work is located in his word and sacraments. Christ cannot help but testify of himself. Lazarus found no mercy from the rich man. No morsel to relieve his hunger, no bandage for his sores, no fellowship for his loneliness. But he silently, humbly received another far, far greater mercy. That mercy that endures forever. He found Father Abraham and the Lamb and the heavenly multitude that no one can count. He found health and forgiveness and freedom from every tear and sorrow and want. He found all these in Moses and the prophets. Jesus, Moses found and Lazarus found in those precious sacred pages, the man who was abandoned at death's gate. The Messiah condemned for the sins that he did not commit. The Savior in whom there was no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. Who opened not his mouth, yet utterly took away the verdict of guilt for every evil that men had done, so that fallen men like Lazarus and rich men like you and me, and anyone who has ever lived in this broken world, might forever go free. Oh, that God in his abundant grace would make us ever more like the holy beggar Lazarus, helpless and ever more dependent, relying on no one but the Lord Jesus, in constant repentance, satisfied with nothing short of the eternal divine, and finally with no other feast than to sit at table with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That we would be the dogs eating undeserved divine crumbs, relishing his wounds from which flowed forth that atoning sacred blood, abiding forever in his love, for of such were we in former times, dogs and outcasts, impoverished sinners, all of us. And now to us has been opened the kingdom of God, where there is everlasting righteousness and joy, comfort and bliss. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.